Happy Friday to you, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. Claude Nolan brings you the show every Friday afternoon. David Garrard in. You finally know the other side of the Hail Mary now, don't you? You know how it feels now.
That was the worst. Sorry, Houston. That definitely felt terrible.
Apologies years later for delivering the critical blow. I take it you were at the game.
I was, and it was a very boring game to start off, and then heats up just incredibly in the fourth quarter. And, of course, we make our comeback, and all we have to do is just touch the ball that's thrown up for the Hail Mary. Just somebody get their hand on it.
Knock it down.
And nobody could touch it. Three guys back there.
Yeah.
Nope, nothing.
Nothing. You're not bitter or anything.
No, not at all. I text Blake after the game, too. I said, really? On a Hail Mary?
That's a squad, man.
Yeah.
The new generation apparently does not no respect for the older generation.
None whatsoever.
No, just kicked you right to the curb, man. Seriously, I mean, how shocking was that result? And for folks who don't know, East Carolina, David's alma mater, played Blake's alma mater, UCF, last Thursday.
Yeah.
And this is for the conference championship, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right. So what did you guys elect to squib kick it, right?
Well, the fact that we had the ball with like a minute left on our own 20-yard line and we go backwards the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And then we give the ball up and we're thinking, okay, it's 10 seconds left. There's nothing they can do. Well, they throw a quick out there and get about 10 more yards up
right.
the field, and then they just chuck it into the end zone. And we had three guys back there. And, I mean, somebody just touched the ball. Nobody even got their hand on the ball to knock it down or pick it off or anything.
It was clean play, much like the Flutie to Phelan play, right?
Yeah.
Unlike yours. Different styles, different strokes.
Ours had a little bit more excitement. But
it did have a lot of excitement to it. But now you know the rest of the story, the other side.
Man, it feels awful.
You're a more well-rounded person. What are you doing? You rocking a beard now?
I am. You know, we're getting into the cold winter months, so I like to grow a little facial hair. I say cold winter months, you know, 60 degrees out.
It's a little chilly this morning. It's in the 30s this morning.
That's true.
So there you have it.
I did see a little speck of frost on my grass this morning.
On your grass? Okay. Yeah. I've had it on the windshield all week.
Oh, I haven't.
Pretty much.
I haven't been up that early to see it.
Yeah, well, that's hardworking radio guys like us,
there
Dave.
You go.
You know, we spend a lot of time in this building. You probably remember those days.
I definitely do.
What about the Jags' performance this past week? I'm sure you took it in, if not in person. Were you here? Were you back for the game?
I wasn't. I was driving down in our big bus that we have with all our kids. And we did have the game on, but it was on Red Zone, so we weren't able to kind of lock
in. Not a lot of trips to the Red Zone?
No, you know, I kept waiting to see when we would pop up on the screen there, and they were like, just to let you guys know, the Jags got into the Red Zone, but they got field goal, or, you know, maybe they got a touchdown, and then they'd move on.
Yeah, you didn't see a whole lot of that in the second half.
No, but they did show a few clips of the game, and it looked miserable out there. I mean, it looked nasty. You couldn't even get a good picture on the TV screen. Even the picture itself looked like it was just waterlogged.
It was cold rain, basically, was coming down, and windy and nasty, and you got a two-win team, and it was not the best environment to sit around. And plus, apparently, a lot of people, the forecast, like me, I honestly don't look at the forecast all that much. I step outside the front door. I'm like, all right, how cold is it going to be? Because I'm going to be under a cover or indoors all day. So if it rains, it rains. So what? But if you're sitting in the stands, it's a different story. And apparently, a lot of the forecasts were for a very small percent chance of rain. So people were doubly unprepared for it on top of things.
I definitely look at the forecast. I just want to know if I'm sitting outside for 3 hours.
If you're
going to
sit outside, you have to know.
But if they get the forecast wrong, then, you know, that's bad. That's bad business.
Well, I don't know. Regardless, it was a miserable set of conditions for the Jag fans to sit through and a miserable second half of play. Talked a little bit about this week, about in-game adjustments. All right, Jeff Loggeman said he thinks that halftime adjustments are overrated. That if you're on the ball, you're making adjustments the entire time as you go.
You are, yeah.
All right, take us into halftime. Okay, you go into a halftime locker room. What happens in that 12-minute period?
You know what? There's usually not a lot of in-game adjustment or halftime adjustments for skill players. You're like you said, we're adjusting as the game goes on. Usually it's for the O-line on our side of the ball. They're telling them, hey, you know what, we tried these runs in the beginning. They've hit us with the blitzes we've actually been expecting. So let's think about these runs now. We have them in the game plan, but we're going to get to these now. So start thinking, getting in your mind, this is what we're going to move to. As far, we're not going up the gut anymore. They're packing it in. So now we're going to start bouncing things outside. So it's more just showing the offensive line, showing the offense that, okay, they've hit us with these blitzes. We were ready for those. They did surprise us with one that we weren't ready for. So be ready to see that one again. And this is what it looks like. So they draw it up on the board. You see the coaches going over. He's explaining it. Every group has their coaches with them, and they're kind of going over their own little second half game plan. So it's not like you walk in there and they're like, all right, we got to scrap everything we thought we were doing. This is what it is now. You know, let everybody get your playbooks out and go through pages 5 through 10. It's not like that. It's basically, all right, these things were working. Let's try to adjust to this run now. Let's think of maybe these passes. Let's work on maybe these protections now. And they're all in the game plan. It's just a good time to reflect on what happened in the first half, and let's try to move in this direction now.
So would you agree with that? Is it overrated then? When people, because people all the time say these guys are getting outcoached because, look, it was 13-10 at the half. Houston came out. They continued to score. Jacksonville didn't. Houston's out coaching them. They're making better adjustments.
I would say for the most part, but it's overrated for the most part. But there are times when you come in to halftime and the coaches do have great ideas. Like they are seeing things and they had to pretty much wait to halftime to get it to the guys just because they needed to have everybody there, everybody focused on what was going on. A lot of times though, you get in, it's pretty much what you saw on film. Either you're playing up to your part or you're not. And then sometimes you go out and it's just the second half. You don't come out with the same zeal, the same zest. You don't come out with the same focus. There's a lot of times when you're up and you come out not comfortable, but you don't have the same hunger like you did when you started the game. The other team starts to come back, and then you got to try to find that hunger again into the fourth quarter or whatever it is. And then there's times when you come out and you just keep rolling because things were rolling in the first half. You're feeling confident. The team is confident. The coaches, you know, maybe gave you a nugget here and there, but it's not like I said, it's not this big ordeal at halftime where there's all these game plan changes and now we have it all figured out. It's okay, let's just try these couple things here. Let's switch it up in the run game this way. Let's maybe use this pass protection this way. And that's really about it.
Without trying to oversimplify, could it be something along the lines of, look, this Jag team, because of, you know, all the factors, offensively at least, with the youth, are going to struggle for stretches in a football game. It just so happened that the week prior, they struggled more in the first half, and this week they had a little success in the first half, but they hit their rough patch in the second half that it's still an uphill climb to put together 60 minutes regardless because of the youth on the team.
And that's the thing. When you have young guys, they don't have a whole lot to fall back on as far as memory and reps, in a bunch of games. Now they do have a ton of games they played in this year, but they're going against guys that have been playing for 5 to 10 years in the league, you know, and so, they're young and you're going to have that up and down, that ebb and flow, the roller coaster ride pretty much with young guys because they feel like they had some success. So, oh, this is easy. We'll just come out and keep doing the same thing instead of in-game adjusting themselves. You know, so you have to be able to internally adjust a little bit too. Knowing that you had success in the first half doing these things, you got to know they're going to counter them. You got to know that they're going to figure those things out. So what are you going to do now to help get yourself open as a receiver? What are you going to do as a running back to press the hole even more now to be able to hit those cutback lanes? But yeah, so when you're a little bit older vet and you understand everything and you're not worried about your own plays, you're just trying to break down the defense and make plays on the defense, then you start to be able to continue the success that you had in the first half.
As much as this team was given credit, maybe the coaching staff was given credit for keeping them together last year, 0-8, and they were able to, you know, not give up the fight, come out, win those 4 games in 5 weeks. A lot of that talk permeating this locker room this year, but yeah. I think now you're starting to see, you know, Toby Gerhardt made some comments like the morale isn't great and look, you're a 2-win team this late in the season. How tough is it, just whatever the record is, if you know you reach December, you got 3 games to go, you know you're not going to the playoffs, you're eliminated from the playoffs, how tough is it to go week in, week out, be a professional, get up for each game as much as you did, say, back in September.
Yeah, you know, this was the time of year when, you know, we had some of our seasons where we were doing pretty good, and we knew we were facing a team that didn't have very many wins. And you could see things on film where maybe they were giving up a little bit here or not going the extra mile, you know, at this point in the game. A lot of times you'll have teams that come out and they're kind of front runners. If they come out playing well in the beginning, then you'll get it for most of the game. If you come out scoring them a couple of times, then they're shutting it down. So you have to understand that when you have a young team, they're going to come out with a lot of energy, and hopefully they don't understand yet to shut things down because they're young. You know, they're still all fighting for jobs. But still, you know, you're still a person, you're still an individual, so you know that if a team comes out and hits you pretty hard, you know, it might be best to,
right,
you know, I'm gonna keep playing, but, you know, I don't want to go into the offseason hurt. I don't want to injure myself here at the end of the year. A lot of these things start
you
to come
into
play.
You see a lot of that in the NFL.
You do, because nobody wants to go into the offseason injured.
Right. And
especially a significant injury where you're here throughout the whole offseason and now you don't get any kind of break whatsoever.
Right, now you got to get surgery, now you got to start
exactly.
in a rehab.
Exactly. And so and when you play scared like that, when you play timid like that, that's usually when you get hurt. And so hopefully your coaches can keep the guys, the vets on the team can keep the morale up, you know, cuz you don't want that morale to get down. Guys will not prepare as hard. They won't practice as hard. They'll just slowly but surely start packing their bags, and you'll see it even more on the field.
Well, let's hope that's not the case here over the final 3 weeks for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Sure, and look, I think the Toby Gerhart comments, the emotional high of the week before, the way they won that game against the Giants, I think it makes the way that second half goes feel that much lower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get in the locker room, because there was this real emotional high with the way that team played against the Giants. The offense got the drive at the end of the game to go get the win. The defense with the turnovers all over the place, score a couple times for the offense. And then they come back the next week, they have a 13-10 lead at halftime, and then it just, the floor drops out from underneath them in the second half. I think the emotional high of the week before made this weekend feel that much worse for that football team.
Well, to me, it just sounds like that when you don't score any more points in the second half, now your defense, they're going to give up some plays now because their motivation, their drive is not the same. Yeah, you want them to shut out the other team just as well, but when they do get a drive, I mean, teams are going to score. When they do get a drive and you don't go down and answer at all, now they're like, you know, here we go again. You know, yep, this is
right.
This is just how the season's been going all year. So you start getting those bad thoughts in your head, and you know what? Maybe guys aren't selling out as much because, you know, the other side of the ball isn't quite, you know, holding up their end of the bargain. Just think if the offense matched Houston every time they went down and scored and kept it a ball game. I mean, now your defense is like, let's go. We got this.
Right. One stop is all we need.
Yeah, kind of something. Yeah. And when you don't, when your offense is not clicking at all and they don't put up any points and maybe they didn't have really any good drives and then you have turnovers. Turnovers kill everybody. I mean, I don't think people realize how bad turnovers are.
Right. Well, you had the one, and then I'll say that I don't think it's an effort issue with the defense. I really don't because, you know, you come down, you give them the short field, and they get them at the goal line, and they basically have them stopped on fourth and one, and it's just nobody can rally to the football there, but you don't get them to fourth and one. You know, you don't get as many stops as they got to hold them at that point if you've just given up. You know, if you've given up or you've had the wind taken out of you, when the turnover comes, you're going to see it on the next few plays, yeah. I think. And I don't think it's an effort issue. I just think it's they're struggling to score. They don't have playmakers. There are a myriad of reasons we've talked about now, it seems, for months, about the offensive side of the football. And I thought the defense did okay. I didn't think they were terrible. Not great against the run.
Yeah.
But Fitzpatrick threw for 135 yards coming off the 6-touchdown game the week before. So it's not like they were letting him throw it all over the ballpark on him.
No, I just think that the offense has to continue to play a little bit better. And those guys are young.
Continue or start? maybe start to play
maybe,
a little
maybe
bit
start.
Better.
Maybe
yeah,
start.
I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, we'll talk more about Jags and Baltimore coming up this week, looking for win number 3 on the season. Today, the fan feedback spotlight, like we ask every Friday, maybe getting tougher to come up with the 3 reasonable ones, but what are your 3 keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars this week? You can tweet at MD_1010XL, at David Garrard 9, and at 1010XL Fat Tony, along with at 1010XL Lauren, and of course brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, the fan feedback spotlight. So we'll get into that a little bit today. I'll hear a little bit from Gus Bradley from the Gus Bradley Show last night. Take your calls at 641-1010 if you want to get on board with David Garrard. That's the way to do it. Jaguars today on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday, just getting started on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Who will be the player of the game for your Jacksonville Jaguars?
All we need to do is just win!
Listen to 1010XL 92.5 FM to find out who played the best on Sunday. Player of the Game is brought to you by Dr. Randolph's Ageless and Wellness Medical Center.
All right, DMX, party up in here.
Mama, up in here.
Woo!
Up in here.
All right, so what's the theme? Tough guy.
Let's see. Somebody's acting a fool.
quite possibly. I think it was you a minute ago.
Yeah.
He comes in. He goes on the break. Hey, so, Tony, you got a picture of my shirt from the other
day? That definitely looks like
you
a gift shop.
You do listen to the program,
shirt.
Man.
Yeah, I do.
Because you will text me on topic all throughout the week, all different stuff. No, that's not right. Yes, this is right. Yeah, Mark Long, my grandmother was really insulted, by the way,
when
he said that looked like a shirt my grandma would have bought me. Had she been alive, she would have really been bothered by that. And you looked at it, you said, yeah, that looks like a gift shop shirt. Well, no duh, that's where I got it.
But the fact that you still wear it is
what's wrong
awesome.
With I don't understand what it's a long sleeve t-shirt.
Oh, that's yeah, it. That's just
I think
it.
I may know the theme, by the way, because I think technically the name of that track is Party Up In Here. Is
yeah,
it the party. Holiday party?
Yay,
tonight?
Good job, Tony.
Oh,
Johnny.
Yay.
Well done.
Go. I wasn't invited.
I think that shirt,
how
by the way, Mike.
How did David Garrard not get invited? He's
you're
on
invited.
On 1010XL.
I'll send you an email.
Thank you.
No problem. Mike, I think that shirt would work well with the outdoor show.
It would. No,
yeah.
They'd shoot me.
It'd have
that's
to be
if,
TV,
I, if I was wearing that.
It's a white tail swag.
And I had white tail swag.
I heard about that.
It's all right. Warren Brooks, are you going to the holiday party tonight?
Of course I'm going to the holiday party tonight.
You say of course. I don't know
of
what your
course.
Lifestyle is.
Well, now that my Friday nights are free, thanks to high school football being over, I'm allowed and able to go and do fun things.
All right.
Where is it at? I might come crash it.
It's at Frangie's house.
Yeah, it's a Frangie's house.
Oh,
you should
actually.
Come crash.
I probably can't get to the gates there.
Yeah, they won't wait. Yeah, they can't run. Is that how that goes?
No comment.
Tony, you going to the holiday party tonight?
I'm torn. I got.
Ah, that's a no.
No,
yeah, that's a no.
Seriously. I have.
It's watch the Grinch Stole Christmas.
No,
at
no,
home
no. I have two different holiday parties that I've been invited to tonight.
Baller.
I know, right?
I'm still debating which one I'm going to go to.
Why do you have to only go to one? Why don't you be that guy who shows up, has a drink,
because
and then.
If I go to the other one, I'm definitely bringing a designated driver.
So have someone drive you to the Frangie house.
Or it's called Uber or Lyft.
I get that.
Lauren will give you a ride.
I'm not sure that I want to show up to one or the other party already drunk. I don't want
to
be that guy.
He doesn't want to be that guy.
You can't be the guy who just, I don't know, has maybe one drink or just says a
not at this other party if that's the decision.
No, I'm saying that why don't you go to
that a frat house
party, have a drink.
Will the other party be playing DMX?
Yeah. It's not a holiday party. It's a kegger. That's all it is. Yeah, I'm sure they will. Well, Frangie, you think they're going to be playing DMX at Frank's house?
No, I'm saying the other party.
Highly doubt it. There might be some DMX at the other one.
You're going to have Rosalita on an endless loop tonight.
Yeah.
Is what you're going to have.
Yeah.
Rosalita.
And any other Springsteen.
By the way, Blythe is my date tonight. For the party.
I'm going to change my plans to cover the holiday party.
Come on.
Come on, then.
I'll make sure
tonight.
There's crown for you.
I got crown at the house, so what can I tell you? I'm sure you would. I do have to work tonight, so my regrets. I will not be able to attend. I'm going to give my invitation to David Garrard, of course.
All right.
He's going to have to get in Lauren's trunk with Tony because neither one of them could get in past the gate. I have a feeling.
Yeah,
you should just go to Tony's other holiday party, David.
That sounds way more fun.
I think I'm going to pass on that
one. Are you going to pass? Hey, Garrard's here, man.
Yeah, exactly. I could just hear that.
That'd be good. That wouldn't hit on social media, would it?
No.
Is that one an ugly sweater party? Tony?
I think it's like Bieber, right?
No,
they have to check their phone.
It's a Bieber party?
They have to check their phone at the door.
The ugly theme? Sweater party is tomorrow. I'm hosting a holiday party tomorrow at my place, too. So it's going to be a long
Are you going to be recovered
weekend.
By then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's still
fine.
Young, David.
Yeah, I guess so.
Relatively.
Yeah.
In this room, he is.
It would take me anyway. 2.5 months to recover.
Yeah. I don't know. I bounced back pretty well, I found. In
London?
Part. Yeah, I think maybe it's institutionalized in my old training. Once you've...
Attaboy.
It's like riding a bike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you know how to hold your liquor.
I suppose.
You always know how to hold your liquor. I'm sure that's not 100% scientific fact, but it certainly seemed to play out that way in the many pubs of London. So.
And if you don't hold your liquor, then you probably feel better the next day anyway.
That's true. That's the point. But I held my liquor, and as far as I know, did not create an international incident. So that's good as well. So if you have a holiday party horror story, 641-1010, bring it to the table if you'd like to. Dave, hopefully the horror story will not be the Jags offense this week. Baltimore's a pretty good football team. Not the best, but certainly they've got a lot of guys that were on that team that won the Super Bowl just a few years ago. So they have a certain air of confidence about them. Joe Flacco's playing really well this year, and Justin Forsett has been outstanding. Their lines of scrimmage, talking to Pete Frisco yesterday, he suggested that when you combine offensive and defensive lines, they may have the best tandem of units in the National Football League. This is going to be a tough test for the Jags.
It really is. And, like you said, Flacco's playing well. He's got Steve Smith. He's throwing the ball to. He's not throwing it to, what's the other guy? Torrey? Or Troy?
Torrey Smith.
Torrey Smith. Because I have him on fantasy, so I know he's not
well,
throwing
you should.
To him.
Right. Well, he's not. Torrey played 15 snaps last week, but he was hurt.
Yeah.
And
it's more like a decoy.
The word is he probably won't play. He hasn't practiced this week.
Yeah. And, Justin Forsett, I mean, I don't even remember him being here. I wasn't here on the team, but, I don't even remember him really.
It was a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hurt last year, so.
Well, but all of a sudden be, you know, 1,000-yard back and, you know.
Averaging 5.6 a carry.
Going into the Hall of Fame is kind of what it
sounds
like.
I mean, that kind of season.
Well, and it was kind of, it was terrible for the Jags and Forsett last year because that was a guy that had been effective everywhere he had ever played in his career.
When he was given an opportunity.
When he was given opportunities, he played well.
When
I mean, he played at close to the level that you're seeing him play in Baltimore. And last year, he was just hurt all the time.
Yeah.
So they made the decision to go away from him, which you can't blame him for. And now he's up in Baltimore. He's healthy, and he's doing exactly what he might have been able to do in a Jaguars uniform if he could just stay on the field.
You're right, though, because how many people have said, oh, man, how they let Terrence Knighton go? Look how well he's playing in Denver. Well, he wasn't playing that way here. What are you supposed to do when a guy doesn't perform?
And
right?
that's the crazy thing. You don't know why, and you know, if it's the culture or whatever it is, why guys don't excel sometimes when they are here. You also have David Nelson. What's his name?
Who?
Darryl Smith.
No, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Reggie Nelson.
Oh, Reggie Nelson.
The eraser.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have guys that don't, show up to their level of production when they're here, but then they go other places and they're very productive. I don't understand why. I don't know if there's not the other pieces around them that helps to bring out that ability that they have.
Possibly.
Because when you go to Baltimore, you have other pieces there. You have Suggs. I know Haloti Ngata is not on the D-line, but he is there. And so Darryl
Smith.
But
he has been most of the
season. Yeah, and so you see some of these guys, still playing at a high level and playing at an even higher level than they were here. It's frustrating because you don't want to let these guys go. You want them
absolutely.
To play at that level here.
Right. You want to have those guys. I think, I honestly bet in Tennessee, and I know they changed schemes to a 3-4, but they're probably saying, wow, was Derek Marks this good? Did we know he was this good?
That's our one, though, that we have.
You need to find more
exactly.
of those guys. There's no question
exactly.
about that. I mean, Roy Miller plays a position where you're not going to get the splashy acclaim.
Yeah.
But I think he's played, since he's been healthy this year, I think he's been very, very good. He's a guy who's coming up for a contract. I talked to him this week. He said he loves Jacksonville. He hopes he never has to play in another city the rest of his career. So hopefully they're able to work something out because I think the feeling would be mutual there. But it does seem like that. And you can't really, In the case of like Knighton, you can't point to coaching. Jack Del Rio's a defensive coordinator in Denver, right?
I think a lot of it is, like I said before, it's a lot of the pieces that are around him. I mean, it seems like everybody on that defense has a name for themselves. It seems like all those guys are playing well. When you have so many other guys play, it builds you up to play at a little bit higher level too. And then also you're not having to account for so many other guys that aren't living up to their billing. So maybe he's trying to do too much and he wasn't able to just focus in on doing his job. He's trying to do a little bit of everybody else's job too at the same time, or maybe he doesn't have the same kind of motivation because there's nobody lifting him up when he was here. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why that happens. But yeah, we getting Cindric Marks is just one guy that it feels like, you know, is doing it from leaving another team. But you got to get more of those guys, like we said.
How good, in your opinion, is Eugene Monroe?
You know what? I remember when Eugene was in college, and I kept thinking, man, it would be awesome to get this guy, but he'll probably be gone by the time we pick. And then when he kind of slid to us, I thought, wow, we finally got a guy that everybody knows his name, was highly touted, you know, just a great player. And then he got here, and he was young, and he didn't quite invest himself as much as he should have, learning the techniques, learning the game, being accountable for everything. He wasn't bad. He was just young, and so he had to learn a lot of things. I think as I left, I could see him get much better than he was when I was here. And then leaving and going to Baltimore, you can just see that he's invested now. He understands what his job, what his role is, and how to play at a higher level. I just think when he was here and I was here, he was just so young because it was his rookie year, second year, and you could see it in him. It just needed to be brought out of him, and he needed to also own up for himself too at that time.
You know, you look back, and who knows what would have happened had they gone a different direction, or maybe if the Jags had brought in Luke Joeckel and left him on the right side and tried to go longer with Eugene Monroe. But did at the time they traded him, did you feel like it was a reasonable move to make because he hadn't yet really blossomed into the guy you expect him to be? What did you think about that at the time and in hindsight?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see he at that time wasn't quite the guy that they were hoping that he would be, because usually when you get a guy playing left tackle that high in a draft, you know, 3 or 4 years later, you're expecting him to be a Pro Bowl type guy. And it seemed like when they did trade him, that he was not playing up to that level. He wasn't playing, he was playing better, like I said, than when, you know, early on in his career, but he still wasn't, you know, excelling. And it just seems like now he's in a different environment. That's what happens sometimes. Sometimes guys need that change of scenery. They need that wake up call pretty much. I know, Chris Carter has talked about that often, you know, leaving his first team, and I think it was maybe Buddy Ryan was telling him, you know, you got a lot of talent, but you're not going to be able to show it here. You got
right. He was his coach in Philly.
Yeah, you got to go somewhere else. And he said, "What?" But just having that eye-opening wake-up call that, you know what, I got to get my stuff together. I think that's kind of has what, and I think he's held probably. He has to hold himself, and the team is holding him to a little bit of a higher standard. I think when you're a first round draft pick here, or not here, but just on a team, you almost feel like a sense of entitlement. Like, you know, I've got it. I've arrived. I'm here. You know, I'll give what I can give. But then when you get traded, or somebody else is like, that team is like, you know what? We can't stick with you anymore. That's a, you know, a kick to the, old nether regions.
Yes.
There, so.
I was wondering where you're going to go.
Yeah. So you straighten up and you realize, you know what, this game really isn't for long. I need to start playing and play now.
Tony, who did they get? You looked that up the other day. Was it Colvin and
Chris Smith
were the two guys that they got directly with those picks, because they didn't use those picks to trade up. They used the.
Are they going to walk them out as captains this weekend?
Maybe. Hey, that's quite possible. That would be a little more subtle than I think. It would take people longer to figure out than the RG3 deal.
A really long time.
Last week, no question about it. All right, David Garrard's here. If you want to get on, 641-1010, talking Jaguar football. It's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith along as well, along with Lauren Brooks here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
think his performance has been elevated. I think he's played better than what we anticipated. I know that I think he's very healthy now. Maybe last year still battling some things, but I know that's one of the things for him. He said he's felt the best that he has, and I think that's why we've seen him play at a very consistent level.
Gus Bradley, Jaguar head coach, talking about Tyson Alualu and the contributions he's made this season. He's been solid, I think. I mean, you know, what you're asking him to do, situational role, backing up Red Bryant, come in. He's had a couple of flashes where he's gotten pressure. But overall, you know, I think his career here, seen through the prism of where they selected him and the fact that he was a surprise selection at that pick, if you just, you know, if you just said, hey, how good of a player is Tyson Alualu? Well, he's a pretty solid football player. You know, he's not, a game changer. He's not, you know, Geno Atkins or one of these defensive linemen that's going to be, you think, a perennial Pro Bowler, but, a solid all around guy.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't pop off the screen when you watch the game.
Right.
I love Tyson as a man. Think he's a great guy. But yeah, when you spend for, you know, a guy, you know, your number one draft pick, you want him to pop off the screen. You want him to be a game changer. And he really hasn't been that way, but to still have a solid guy, you know, that's fine too.
Right. In terms of being a guy who has a place on a 53-man roster,
yeah,
he's that guy. He's
that's
a,
what I'm
right.
saying. You still need solid guys. Everybody's sure. not going to pop off the screen. Everybody's not going to be Pro Bowl talents. You're hoping, though, that still at some point maybe he will. Maybe he will kind of find that edge, find whatever it is to help him pop off the screen a little bit more. But maybe he just might be a career all around, just solid player for you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And you just wish you had gotten that at a lower spot. And,
yeah.
But that's not his fault. You know,
no,
that's
not
the thing. But he lives with those expectations and has, I think, throughout his career. But now, you know, the good thing is you don't look at that line and say, wow, you know, if only we had this, because they have a pretty solid defensive line. Certainly the pass rush has been 39 sacks this year, Dave, compared to 31 all of last year. They were dead last in the league last year, third overall this year. Of course, last year, Carolina was running away with, they ended up with 60 sacks as a defense, and nobody's going to get close to that number, it doesn't appear, this time around. But the Jags, you know, just with a couple each of the next few games, could get 45. That is basically a 50% increase over what they did last year. That's a massive jump.
When I was here, we were getting sacks in the teens, so.
It's crazy, right?
It is. I remember in some games, just sitting on the sideline and the crowd would go crazy when the defense is out there. And I was like, oh, wow, what happened? Oh,
I remember what is that called when the quarterback gets
sacked? I forgot we could do that, you know?
Do you recall in 2007, did you agree that, because the feeling was, you know, the organization felt they were a player away and they traded, four picks they combined to move up in total to get Derek Harvey. Did you personally feel like that was the missing position or the thing? Because you're talking about the lack of pass rush. We remember the playoff game, Tom Brady got to survey the field, you know, and did you agree with that at the time? Did you think, man, this might be the piece that pushes us over the top?
Yeah, we really did feel like if we could just get somebody that was a stud coming off the D end, because we had the Twin Towers there in the middle. You know, we were feeling real good about Big Hen and Stroud. So we needed somebody coming off the edge. We felt like Spicer and those guys were solid guys, but we wanted somebody, even Reggie Hayward, but we wanted somebody that was going to change the game. And Harvey had a lot of buzz coming out of college right there in Florida.
All airport team. And, I mean, he looked the part,
you know,
physically.
Yeah, really did. And he just, for him, it was more his mental drive, like his want to. Do I have it in me to go out and have that motor to be the dog that they want me to be? And
didn't just seem to have it.
No, he was very comfortable with just, you know, I put my uniform on.
Make a lot of money the day you sign that first contract.
You do. And it's sad. It's sad because I still think he had the talent. He just didn't have the want to inside.
Yeah. Obviously, that didn't work out for that.
No.
Boy, you mentioned Reggie Hayward.
Yeah.
And I wonder what would have happened had he not torn his Achilles.
I know. Because Reggie was a real solid DN, and he played really good in Denver. before we picked him up,
he
I believe, right?
He destroyed the Jags in a game here, Tony. Was it the year before they signed him? I want to say it was like the year before they signed him.
I think it might have been.
He just, it seemed like he had a game. It was probably one of those stretches, like he had a quarter where he was everywhere. You know, I mean, just physically throwing guys around, speed, quickness, power, the whole combination. And I think sometimes you see that when a guy does it against you, it
you
makes
want
you,
that.
Right, hey, let's go get that. Let's take that from him and add it to us, and we're going to be in good shape. But he's a guy you always going to probably wonder what if could have been in terms of explosiveness. I think the Jags, we've talked about this since they let him go, Darryl Smith going to the Ravens, and they'll see him this week, is the one that's been described by most people who cover the team as the one that the organization feels they let get away. That maybe if they could have had one back, that would be the guy. They didn't realize how much good football that they had left him. What makes Darryl Smith such a good player?
Darryl is just a solid all-around guy, period. I mean, he's always around the ball carry, just like Puz, you know, where he's going to have the most tackles every game, all year long. He's going to be that guy. He's not shy. He's downhill. He can take on blocks. He can also run a little bit too. And I know, you know, in the latter part of his career, you know, he's not able to keep up with some of the tight ends and some of those quick guys out of the backfield, but he's there enough and he's always making the tackle. He's a sure tackling guy. He's not a real big rah-rah guy at all. He doesn't talk a whole lot, but he just goes out and plays, and he plays well, and he plays at a higher level than most linebackers, you know, and he's going to be a guy that helps keep the younger guys held accountable. You know, like I said, he's not going to yell and talk to them a whole lot about things, but when they see him go out and play, when they go out and see him have 12, 15 tackles in a game, you know, this is what it looks like. This is how you play the linebacker position, and he just goes out and does it every game. He doesn't have those games where, you know, he doesn't show up for it. He's always there. He's always, you can always count on him, really, just like Puzz. And I'm not sure what happened with him in his last year here. I don't know if he was injured or I think maybe he was having a little bit of injuries.
Yeah.
And so a team, when you're in your ninth year, heading to your 10th year, I'm not sure exactly what year. I know he was later in his career. You start thinking, you know what? We need to get somebody younger, fresher, faster, you know, but you're losing a lot of things. Even though you're getting a younger guy for less money, you're losing that constant guy that's always there, always going to show up to meetings on time, always going to be on the field in the right places. You're not going to have to tell him, you know, where to line up. He's going to know. He's going to get everybody else lined up. And so I think that is a part that you miss when you're like, when you think as a GM or a head coach, maybe this guy is kind of on his last leg. And maybe for him too, it was the change of scenery. You know what? I'd played here my whole career. Let's go see what it is like somewhere
sure.
else. You know, and he has a defense that's got quite a few pieces around him. And so, you know what? It makes him play to another level, even though he's a little bit older. And it's made him hungry, and it's made him at a place in his career where he can prove some people wrong.
Yeah, he is a guy that's still, I mean, nearly 30 sacks in his career. That's not a small accomplishment, mm-hmm. you know. So he's been a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
He's got 10 interceptions, 27 and a half sacks. And really, since he got to Baltimore the last couple of years, had three picks last year, has one this season, had five sacks last year, which was a career high in his first year there. So he's one of those guys, like you said, he can be the guy who gives you double-digit tackles.
Mm-hmm.
He can be the guy who pops up and makes the big play in the pass rush or in coverage. And they don't need another rah-rah guy in Baltimore. They've got enough
of those guys.
They've had a number of those guys.
And Darryl, he pops on the screen. He's going to be the guy that the commentators say his name often. Like, you're going to hear his name being called a lot for the tackles, for pass breakups, whatever it is, getting pressure on the quarterback. You're going to see his name pop all the time.
641-1010, you want to get on board with David Garrard like Mike does. Let's welcome him to Jaguars Today. Hello, Mike. How are you? Good. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You hear me?
We hear you fine.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. David, thank you for coming on and giving your opinions every week. And it's really nice as a fan to hear a professional football player give opinion. I just have asked one last question of you, David. The game against Houston when J.J. Watt was tearing up our right tackle, and he tears up everybody. We all know that. But does a quarterback ever go back to the sideline and say, hey, coach, let's put somebody on J.J. Watt and make sure we double-team him so he doesn't keep getting to me? Does a quarterback ever get upset? Do players ever get upset with the coaches and give them ideas as a game to be played?
Absolutely. When you know a guy is tearing up your right tackle, your guard, whoever it is, they better be saying to themselves, all right, we need to get our guy some help. First of all, you're killing that tackle's confidence. You're getting your quarterback killed, and so you need to address that. You need to put a tight end over there to at least chip him. And usually you go on with the game plan with somebody like Watt. You don't take it for granted that he's not going to, get off in the game. So you're already going into the game because he's a game wrecker. And so you want to have a tight end over there. You want to have a running back coming over and chipping. You want to keep your tight end in sometimes. And it hurts you in the passing game. Because you're having to chip all the time on them. You're having to keep your tight end or your running back in, so that's less guys out in routes. But it's either, hey, let's have less guys out in routes and our quarterback not getting killed, or our quarterback might get the ball off, but he's taking a shot from J.J. Watt every time. And so that's the chess match that's going on. Do you want to have more guys in route where you can get the ball off maybe a little quicker, but you're still singling your tackle up or whoever it is to having to guard this guy one-on-one. And it's a tough thing because when you have a young quarterback, you want to have as many guys out there in routes as you can to give him more weapons, more options to go to. But then you're kind of exposing your offensive line a little bit. Pick your poison because, both of them going to hurt.
All right, 641-1010. We got to take a timeout. Come back with this date in football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL. More of your calls welcome as well. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, December 12th, 1982. I remember watching this game. Where must I have been? Like eighth grade, something like that. I don't know. The New England Patriots defeat the Miami Dolphins 3-0 in the snowplow game. Do you remember the snowplow game?
I do remember the snowplow where the guy kind of went around the he was supposed to go down the lines.
Correct.
And then he goes right across where the guy's going to make the kick.
He made a little loop, I guess, out to the 23-yard line, as it was. Mark Henderson was the guy's name. He was a convict on work release. Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the story. He was on work release. And as if that made it any better or worse,
yeah.
I don't know. But I guess they tried
to
make it so
to it. That's
nefarious,
pretty,
yes. But he was on like a work release program. He's running the little snowplow. And he just went out of his way.
He's a smart guy.
Cleared the place where the hold was going to take place. And it was Sullivan Stadium. And John Smith, that doesn't sound like a fake name.
nope.
And he's in the witness protection with you over there, Fat Tony.
That's right.
33-yard game winner for the New England Patriots in a game where no offense could be found. And I'm not a fan of either one of those teams, but I'm less a fan of the Dolphins. So I enjoyed the snowplow getting twisted in their back.
Well, being that I was four, I didn't understand why everybody was so outraged with that.
Right. Hey, that looks fun. What for you, what's the worst weather condition you've played a football game in?
Let's see. I was in the seventh grade. And
all right,
I'm serious. I was in the seventh grade and I was starting tight end backup quarterback, and it was in North Carolina, and it was probably 33 degrees. So it wasn't snowing. It was raining, and it was the coldest rain. I mean, you could barely move. It was muddy. It was nasty. And starting quarterback goes down. So this is my one
shot. Here comes beer truck.
My one shot to go out there and play. And this is so funny. The coach says, all right, Dave, he's in the huddle. He's like, all right, Dave, we need you to play quarterback. And I said, but coach, I can't. My hands are too cold. He says, well, you're going to have to suck it up. We need you to go out there anyway. So I did. I don't remember what happened after that. It was all a blur. I just know that I was freezing.
Yeah. Did the hands ever warm up for you?
I don't think so. I don't think I threw one pass.
You still have all, seventh grade.
Yeah.
You still have all the use of all your fingers.
I think I handed it off a few times and I ran a bunch of times.
Did you?
Yeah.
He just tucked it and took off.
Just go, Dave.
Now, I'm guessing, how sophisticated was your seventh grade offense back then? Was the ball in the air very much?
You know what? I don't remember catching any passes, so I'm going to say no. I'm sure I did catch some passes, but I don't remember catching any passes.
You're a very good blocking tight end
yes.
in the seventh grade.
Although I do know that when I got to the eighth grade, we did start airing it out, and I was quarterbacking.
Now, it's crazy. Now, when I went to high school in the mid-80s, I was on the basketball team, but when I go to football games, they hardly ever threw the football. I mean,
If you didn't have somebody that could throw and anybody to catch it, then you wouldn't throw the ball.
No, I mean, I remember winning a game on a tight end end around option pass. And that went for like 63 yards in the final minute of the game, and it was like, you're allowed to do that?
You know? Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy how boring it was back then. And now you've got all these offenses. You got kids here on the First Coast.
Oh, yeah.
For insane.
Well,
numbers.
It's what's funny about it now is everybody has like a personal trainer of some kind. Everybody
right.
has like a quarterback coach that they go to, or they go somewhere, and kids from the age of like 8 and 9 and 10 are getting some kind of one-on-one training with somebody. Which when I was growing up, I mean, we went out in the backyard, we went out in the street, we just threw the ball around. There was no...
You played.
You just played.
And you probably played every sport, right? I mean...
Every sport.
When it was baseball season, you played baseball or
everything
whatever time
I could.
Of year it
and
was.
And they don't do that nowadays.
Oh,
like,
no.
They say, all right, what are you good at? All right, this is what we're going to stick with. You're 9. Let's go do baseball for the rest of your life.
I remember as a kid, I don't know how true or not true it was, but like... You know, I took German in high school because I had to be different, right?
Yes.
Such a useful language. So I did not take Spanish. I took German instead.
You went to White Shroot.
And I remember them telling us, like the way they did the school system, like you had to think, when you were really young, you had to decide what career path you were going to go down. And you either went into this kind of school or that kind of school, you know, depending on it, whether you're going to go into like, you know, more of a blue collar or white collar occupation. But you had to decide. Young. I'm not talking high school. I'm talking about grade school young and, you know, what your acumen was. And that's kind of how it is now with sports, it seems like.
It is big time. I mean, if you don't have a track coach helping you with your speed, if you don't have a position coach helping you with throwing or catching or whatever it is, I just know that that is very popular now. The 7-on-7. Deals.
Yeah.
That's super popular too. So kids are playing, I know football wise, they're playing football year round now, but it's more organized where back in the day it was, hey, get some guys together and let's go play ball.
And it is one of the advantages of football in the South is that they're, you don't need a special indoor facility, or something to do that more year round than you do in some other places. All right. That's this date in football history looking back at the snowplow game. Presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you're interested in the custom fit stop snoring mouth guard, give Dr. McCall a call at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for more information. And also, there are a couple of birthdays of note today. John Randall, born in the state in 1967.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is a Hall of Famer, and now illegal to wear the eye black the way he wears it.
Everywhere.
Right? Yeah, he just smeared it all over the place. You played against him, right?
Did you? I don't remember that.
Is that not right? Maybe you didn't. You might not have.
The NFL is dumb. Who cares how much eye black you're wearing or what you do? It's just dumb.
You don't fit the profile. Orlando Zeus Brown... who was what blinded by the referee?
Yeah,
did he lose his eye? Did he lose the or was
I think
he
lost vision?
He did.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of vision.
Right when the ref threw the penalty flag in his face,
and he went up and pushed the ref. I remember that one.
Oh yeah, that was bad. And Renard Wilson, former Florida State defensive end who played linebacker for the Bengals for a number of years, never really did anything.
And J.P. Chadwick.
That's right, and Joe Cowart.
Yeah.
How about that? And also, 1965, Gale Sayers put 6 in the end zone. tied an NFL record with 6 touchdowns.
Wow.
On that day. I guess that's what it takes to get you in the Hall of Fame when you only play a few
short
years.
He was a pretty special player.
He was. All right. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, you can put this one in the, let's see how this works out column. Dallas Cowboys executive VP and owner Jerry Jones' son, Stephen Jones, told KTCK that they have complete confidence in Jason Garrett and the job that he is doing. Votes of confidence don't usually end well historically. The Cowboys are obviously still in the middle of the division race with the Eagles and a legit wild card contender. Beyond that, they are 9-4, which means they will eclipse that 8-8 barrier for the first time under Garrett. But what happens if the Cowboys miss the playoffs? We'll have to see how that one works out. Last night, Arizona and St. Louis kicked off Week 15 of the NFL season. The Cardinals got the 12-6 victory, and with it, improved to 11-3 on the year. They still have the best record in the NFC. They are the first team to get to 11 wins this season. Arizona is already playing without Carson Palmer, a quarterback who went 6-0 as the starter this year because of that ACL injury. The Cardinals will have current starter Drew Stanton undergoing further tests today, including an MRI after his knee was injured last night. All the team is saying right now is that it is a knee injury and that he will undergo further evaluation. So the 11-3 Cardinals could be looking at Ryan Lindley leading them down for this playoff run.
Good luck with that. They continue to win somehow, man. I mean, look, St. Louis is not a great team, but they've been playing very well defensively. Held Arizona to 4 field goals yesterday. The debate was, should the Rams have gone for it, 4th-and-1, about 6 minutes left, or do you kick the field goal? They're down 9 at the time. All right. If you want to read something enjoyable, head to Deadspin, where they're going after Prisco today. Did you see this, Tony?
No.
Because Pete's like, you got to kick the field goal, and you know some. I don't know who the guy was, but somebody, you know, gave the numbers on the probability of winning. They have programs out there that constantly calculate the probability of winning a football game, depending on whatever you do. And the probability of winning the game if you kick the field goal, and keep in mind they haven't driven the length of the field the whole game,
yeah,
right? If you kick the field goal, kick off, hold them, get the ball back, say, at your 20-yard line and have to go 80 yards for a touchdown was 15%. The probability of going for it, knowing you're not going to be successful every time, but going for it, then getting the ball back under the same scenario and getting within field goal range for Greg Zuerlein, whose career long is 60 and he's kicking indoors, was 19%, which is a 27% increase in the odds to win if you go for it on fourth down. Pete argued vehemently that the right play is to kick the field goal, and the other side pointed out, well, if the idea is to stay in a one possession game as long as possible, if that's your goal, then yes, you achieved your goal because you did do that, but the actual odds of winning decrease because now you've got to go the length of the field. Either way, they weren't able to get it done, but whether you're a Pete fan or not, Deadspin.com, I always enjoy the voyeuristic Twitter battles that people find themselves in. Occasionally, I'm one who's embroiled in one. But
every now and then.
Every now and again. But regardless, I don't want to see Arizona in the playoffs. I guess they're going to make it, but is there a less appealing team to watch right now?
You know what? Yeah. They're doing it all with defense.
And good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, did you see Arians after the game, by the way? Was he going after Fisher? He said something along the lines of, he goes, what, we weren't going to win this game or something like that? He said, what are we, 8-8? We're an 11-win team. You kidding me? Or something like it was.
Did you see, like, right before the game started, they showed the national, like, poll of America picking who they thought was going to win this game? It was 90-10 for St. Louis.
Well, St. Louis had pitched 2 shutouts in a row, and they're at home.
I know.
And Arizona's.
And if Arians wants to wear that on his shoulder. Right. If Arians wants to wear that kind of thing on his shoulder, all right.
And I get that.
It's working.
I really wondered if there's a backstory with him and Fisher. That
wouldn't surprise me.
It seems like Arians just, he says what he wants to say. He's not a guy that kind of holds his tongue at all. He's not, you know, he doesn't say crazy stuff, but he says what's on his mind. He seems like he's pretty open with, you know, how he talks about things. I've watched some of his press conferences, And he's not a by-the-books kind of guy.
Right.
You know, he definitely says what's on his mind.
Yeah, but without Andre Ellington, and with obviously without Carson Palmer, but who knows about Drew Stanton, who hurt his knee last night. You're down to your third quarterback, who's a guy who's been shaky at best every time he's played. And you got Logan Thomas backing him up, who's raw as can be. And good luck with that. But that defense, I mean, they beat Kansas City 17-14 last week. They win 12-6. They don't care.
I know it.
If they're winning games.
I always pick against them, you know, but they show up and win.
I think Seattle's going to end up taking the division away from them.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah. They'll go head-to-head next week, provided Seattle obviously has to take care of business against San Fran at home, which I think they will. This week, but
that's been a mess out there too.
Yeah, Seattle's got their eye on Green Bay. Green Bay needs to slip up for Seattle to steal home field back.
I think Aaron Rodgers is just way too relaxed right now.
Everyone else is relaxing along with him. 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get on board. It's Jaguars today here on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, we continue on. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars today every Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac, your preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida, the largest selection of newer used Cadillacs here in Jacksonville. Absolutely no dealer fees, an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any model. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac just one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111. For Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. Not to drown out Lee Bryce, Parking Lot Party. There you go. You know it.
Oh, yeah.
You know it. You know all the party songs, apparently.
I know my country music now.
That's the theme.
This one's for you, David.
Thank
you. Now, Lauren, are you, are you going to be in such a state that you'll be able to recall all the good stories? The embarrassing stories.
Yeah, I learned from a young age never to drink too much at your company Christmas party.
That's the smart thing to do, is to not drink too much.
Tony has not learned that.
No. If I went to that party, it would not be that way.
That's why he doesn't want to go to that party.
A separate deal.
He wants to go to the party where he can cut loose.
All right. Who's the second most likely person at 1010XL to drink too much at the party tonight? Because
He said second.
I don't want to. It's like one of those question of the day, Tony. When the answer is going to be Blake Bortles,
right?
Right. You got to go to who's the second most the Jaguar you're most looking forward to.
This person's not going, I think, to go overboard, but D Murph said she's going to have a good time.
Oh,
yeah,
Murphy.
So you better watch out.
You scrape her off the floor.
No. That's why I said she's not going to drink too much, but she said she's going to enjoy herself.
Murphy can handle her.
She deserves.
I've seen Donna out on the town before. She'll do just fine.
We'll have her rum. We'll be good.
That's right. She'll have whatever she wants. We want off the air stories next Monday, and then we'll determine if we can pass any along on the air.
You got it.
We'll go from there. All right, 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get in. We're just taking a look at this story with the Chicago Bears I was telling you about, Dave. Their offense coordinator, Andy Cromer, apparently got up in a team meeting this week. This is according to the Chicago Tribune, and issued a tearful apology to Jay Cutler. And Ian Rappaport had written a story that basically said that the Bears had buyer's remorse. The franchise had buyer's remorse about Cutler's contract. But Cromer denied making that specific comment about buyer's remorse. Maybe that was just an interpretation from Ian Rappaport, because apparently he got up and said that, you know, he basically criticized him to Rappaport, the Cutler, not, I don't know, working hard enough, not performing well enough, not living up to the contract, whatever the case may be. And somehow it came to a head to where he had to get up in front of the team in a meeting, and unnamed players were quoted as saying, "I'm still trying to sort my way through this, to be honest. It's one of the most messed up things I had ever seen." Another player agreed, "It's just a messed up situation." So now you've got your OC, who the quarterback can't trust.
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever seen anything even approaching that level of dysfunction?
No, that's crazy. First of all, coaches and staff and all those guys should always keep those kind of things in house. I mean, so I think what happens sometimes is you have these meetings. You have your coaches' meetings and all those kind of things. And there's things that are being said up there between coaches. And you have a interview shortly after, and you still kind of come out with some of those things that were said in-house, and they kind of leak out of your mouth. And you weren't really trying to throw your quarterback under the bus, but that was just something that was fresh in your mind. And, yes, he has been playing pretty bad, you know, all year. He has good numbers, but he's made just costly mistakes in games. He hasn't, you know, led his team to victory enough times. Even when Brandon Marshall came out yelling in the locker room after a game, saying there's no way, where I think they were 4-3 at that point in time, something like that, and there's no, or 3-4, maybe something like that. He's like, there's no way we should be at this point in our season. We've got way too many players offensively. We're not getting it done. I mean, it's being said without it being said about him and his contract and the whole buyer remorse thing, but you should never have a coach to come out and say these kind of things about your players, especially your quarterback, because he already gets it from everybody else.
Are quarterbacks too coddled, though, in all honesty? I'm not saying that
it's
to you.
They're coddled, if you want to use that word, for a reason, because there's only one of them. You know, they're not like receivers, they're not like offensive linemen, they're not like anybody else on the team. There's only one of them that plays. And so you need him to have his confidence as much as possible, because he's getting it already from every other direction. When he goes home, not in his house, but in the streets, he's hearing it. He's hearing it on talk radio, on ESPN, you know, on TV. He's hearing it even from coaches saying, all right, we need you to play up to another level. We need you to, you know, but you still got to do it the right way when you're coaches, because it's your quarterback, and your quarterback, it's a big drop off from your starter to your backup. Usually the backup is a backup for a reason. I mean, there's sometimes where your backup has proven that he can, you know, get out there and play, but the starter gets paid more money. There's always those exceptions, but you don't want to, unless your starter can just no longer go anymore, he's just playing bad, the team isn't going anywhere, let's see what the backup has. Usually when you have a guy that just got paid, you want him to go out there and perform. So you want to kind of build him up as much as possible. You want to keep his confidence high so that he can have that breakout game and you guys win and he gets on a roll. If you start tearing him down, or if you have a guy behind him that you're talking about and saying, well, you know, we're deciding on who we're going with. And if you, now he's looking over his shoulder and you take that confidence away from him. But yes, they can be coddled a little bit. I don't call it coddling. I call it trying to keep his confidence high.
David Lamb and I have talked about this many times over the years, because he feels like he has openly stated, I'm not trying to put words in Dave's mouth, but my interpretation of his side of the argument or his point of view is that every other position you talk about, let's have competition. You know, if I beat you out, this guy's having a better week of practice. Is that not realistic to do, though, at the quarterback position?
You can have competition. It's just that the quarterback, if he's an established guy, is probably getting paid quite a bit of money.
But like in the instance of a couple years ago, where they signed Matt Flynn in Seattle, mm-hmm. to a $20+ million contract, not crazy money, but still brought him in to be this guy. And then Russell Wilson, they couldn't deny how well he was playing. And they said ultimately, well, the money's not going to talk here. The play on the field is going to talk.
Well, so if you have a guy that just comes in with another young guy, so now you're both starting from scratch, and when that young guy keeps showing over and over again that he is as good or better, now he starts to put question marks. So now the coaches are going to give him more chances. It's just that when you have a more established guy like a Cutler, and you're paying him buku bucks, you're just not going to have that competition during the season.
Sure.
You might say in the off season, you know, Cutler's our guy, but you're telling him, though, you know, we're going to give everybody a fair chance to go out and compete. You know, you're our guy, but we're going to give everybody a chance to compete here. You know, so you may say those things kind of in house so they know that there's a competition going on, but yet you're still our guy. So we still want to continue to give you that confidence because we are paying you a lot of money, but don't just think, you know, you just show up.
They still want to push them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So with quarterback, it's tough because there is a little bit of a fine line of just killing somebody's confidence, and you find out that your backup still isn't that good anyway.
641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Quincy, you're up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I just have a quick comment about Daryl Smith and then a question about Blake Bortles. I was, like, thinking, like, you know, the thing with Daryl Smith is, you know, like you guys said, you know, nobody knew he'd come back from the injury and still be playing at a pretty good level. But if you think about it, by the time this team got competitive, you know, in the third or fourth year, you got to think that Daryl Smith would either be retired or on a decline, plus he'd be taking the place of a guy that they want to develop, like a Talvin Smith or something of that nature. So I think that was their mindset when they didn't re-sign him. And then the question I have, as far as Blake Bortles, I see a common theme, you know, where teams, you know, will send the blitz, you know, the extra guys, and then, you know, I don't know, is it Blake Bortles not being able to identify where the blitz is coming from and not having the hot reads? Because I see that other teams, when that happens, they always have a guy out of in the flat, like a running back or a tight end or something that they can throw to, you know, if the blitz comes. And I've noticed that that doesn't seem to be the case with the Jaguars. So I was wondering what your interpretation is and where the breakdown is with this. You know, obviously, team has over 50 sacks, so there's definitely a problem.
Gotcha. All right, Quincy, let me just first address the first. We understand what the reasoning was with Daryl Smith. Nobody doesn't understand the reasoning. But Dave Caldwell himself has admitted that was a mistake. I mean, you can't just say, well, we want to be good in 3 years, so let's cut all the guys who may age in 3 years. You got to have some guys who can keep you afloat and show these young guys how to play. Talvin Smith wasn't here last year. Daryl Smith was gone last year and played at a near Pro Bowl level, earned himself a new 4-year contract in Baltimore. So they think he's going to be playing still for a significant amount of time. And when you're talking about, you know, being competitive in year 3 of a rebuild, that'll be year 2 of his new deal that he just signed with the Baltimore Ravens. So that issue aside, what have you seen from the hot read aspect of this offense?
Yeah, you know, with systems, with offenses, you either have hot reads or you have them built in. So you'll have that guy in the flat because it's built into that play that if we get a certain blitz and we can't pick it up, you know you have your guy in the flat. Now, it's going to be up to Blake to be able to recognize that he's getting blitzed and he has to get the ball out right now. Or maybe they bring the blitz from a depth of, you know, yardage where you can actually still kind of get to a deeper guy. You don't have to get, but that's up to Blake to realize, hey, they're bringing it fast. I need to get it out right now. Or it's more of a delay blitz and I can get it off. I can get something further down the field off. When you have hot reads and you have guys that have to break routes off, now that's between you and the receiver knowing we're hot on this guy. If he comes, you break a slant, you break a quick out, whatever it is. And sometimes young guys, young quarterbacks, even young receivers,
right,
which
you got rookies,
you got both,
right,
they might not see it. They might not recognize it. The defender might give the illusion that he is covering the receiver. It comes at the last second. Blake has his head somewhere else because he pretty much wrote that guy off of not blitzing. And so that's where you get into the film, the breaking down defenses, the tendencies that you see in defenses. There's always keys out there on that give you an idea of what they're doing. So when you see something, you can say, you know what? You guys are trying to do a real good job here disguising this, but I already know that you're bringing this guy because of this. Maybe it's the nickel. He's uptight and he's trying to act like he's locked in, but you can see him leaning. You can see him peeking. Coach Shula used to always tell me, when they look real quiet over there, when they're barely moving, they're not relaxed at all. They're not, you know, they're different than the way they normally play that position. When they're trying to be real quiet, it's almost like they're trying to be invisible.
Right.
You know, because they don't want you to send the line to them and pick them up. There's different ways to help with blitzes, and a lot of times with young quarterbacks, you can get fooled.
So it sounds like basically experience is going to improve
it
that
is,
more
absolutely. And a lot of these blitzes that are getting to them, a lot of the times the guys are hitting him a lot and getting a lot of these sacks. He's going to be able to watch in the offseason and say, you know what? here's what we got to figure out. These are the things that we got to do to be better at, you know, during the blitz, picking it up, throwing hot guys, or just throwing the guys that are out in routes that I can get the ball to them.
All right, we will come back. Keys to victory. That's your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight question of the day, as it is every week on a Friday. What are your keys to victory for the Jags this weekend? Get more of your calls if we have time as well at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks, a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday continues. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. This one's for you, party boy. What is this? The Vanga Boys? Is that what this is? I don't know how you say it.
She's making me want to party, though.
We like to party. There you have it. Christmas party. Holiday party. Are you allowed to say Christmas party?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to say Christmas party.
I'll be wearing red.
I just see that stupid hamster dancing every time I see hear this song.
What is that from?
It's just a video. The hamster dancing.
Oh, I do remember the video now.
I miss out on so many things these days, Dave.
Like the holiday party.
But like the holiday party. Yes. All right. Let's get Tony and John on. They want to make a comment or ask a quick question. We got to get to the fan feedback spotlight here. Let's go to Tony first. Tony, you're on Jaguars today. What do you got for us?
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, I want to say for fans that have never had a chance to meet David out in public, he's very accessible, kind of similar to someone like Bobby Bowden. So I just want to say he's really a genuinely good guy. The second of all, I wanted to make a comment that I always liked the offense that we ran when we had that run against, New England, where we had the two tight ends and the one running back. And I thought, about Blake Bortles. So David, my question is, do you think we could use that type of offense where we have the two tight ends, two wide receiver, and just one running back and use Blake's mobility just like yours?
Yeah, I love that offense too. Just being able to have two tight ends out there gives you just comfort as a quarterback. And when you have those good receivers too, you know, it helps when you have all the pieces. You have the running back there, like I had Mojo. So they had to honor any kind of play action fake that I gave with Mojo, and Mojo was really good at it. The linebackers always had to step up because, I mean, he was just a tear. And with that, you get your tight ends behind them. You get Mercedes and those guys behind those linebackers and in front of the safeties. And then it also allows you to use your boots and your keepers and your nakeds, those kind of things, because Blake is a really good, passer of the ball on the run. I mean, you almost want to see him do like 90% just waggles where he's out of the pocket because he does throw the ball so well. I did see the touchdown to Hearns. Hearns does a great job in the back of the end zone, kind of giving the guy a crossover back there, a little crossover move, and gets himself open. And Blake sees it and they're on the same page. Those instances right there are going to help those two and the younger guys continue to build their chemistry together. And this caller is right. I think Blake would really benefit from having the two tight ends and being able to be on the move more often.
All right, Tony, thank you for the call. John, you're up next on Jaguars today. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. So my question was, I was looking at the quarterback rankings at QBR now, and it looks like Bortles is dead last with 23 and Bridgewater and Derek Carr at 46. So my question is, if he continues to struggle next year, do you think we would either draft a quarterback or maybe give up a pick for RG3 so that way we would have a potential long-term replacement next year if Bortles doesn't progress like we hope he does?
I don't think they'd be interested at all in bringing an RG3.
I would definitely stay away from RG3. There is nothing right now that shows me that he's, first of all, going to be healthy enough, and then he just has too much mental issues to me.
And then you bring in a guy, Dave, that you feel like at least you have to coddle, you have to, and maybe design everything around.
But that's what I'm saying. He has too much mental stuff. Like, you got to do too much stuff to make him happy. You know, like, he doesn't just go out and play with what he has and makes everybody else around him better. He's like, you guys get around me and make me better. That's what I feel from RG3, and I don't know RG3, but I just don't like some of the things that I've heard. And if you're in Washington and you have the weapons that you have up there in Washington, you got a great running back in the backfield. You got DeSean Jackson. You got Pierre Garçon. You got all these different weapons, but yet you can't get it done up there. Why would we bring you down here to, you know, get around a ton of young guys who are
right.
still
less
learning?
Proven. Right.
Yeah. Like, let's not give up on Blake Bortles because, he's had 1 year, first of all, and he goes into next year and he struggles. Like, let's continue to get this guy some reps and let him develop, and you'll see the things start to happen. Like, you can't still be last, I don't think, next year, but I don't think he will. I think he will definitely
right, but
come
he's going to have to make a step
better.
Forward.
Because he will.
In today's NFL,
it doesn't take long.
EJ Manuel,
yeah.
Geno Smith.
But let's not do it with RG3. Let's get somebody else.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, look, this is all about their focus is on making Blake Bortles realize his potential, and that's all it's going to be. And I don't think bringing in RG3 is going to help that in any way, shape, or form. All right, quickly, Tony, the Tom Bush Family Dealership Fan Feedback Spotlight. Keys to victory. What do we got?
Here's what we got from at Irish Jaguar. Number one, play 60 minutes. They're going to have to. Number two, let Blake loose. And number three, pray.
Pray. There's been a lot of praying in the theme this morning.
There has been. From
Should
Matt,
be.
We got score, score, stop them from scoring. From Ocho Fishu, let defense play out of its mind for 60 minutes. Mass flu outbreak in Baltimore locker room and Baltimore food poisoning. So
well, food poisoning on top of the flu. We'll
not a lot of faith out
double
there.
Double whammy.
No, and look, I get it. It's you're facing a team that's playing fairly well right now. Certainly did this past week, and they blew one the week before to San Diego, but had built a big lead. Playing at home, a lot of confidence. You're struggling. You can't find ways to put points up on the board. You're a 13.5-point underdog. By the way, Baltimore straight up I saw is like 32-3 when they're a double digit favorite.
And they have just I saw the numbers, I can't remember exactly what they were off the top of my head, but they have completely confused and dominated rookie quarterbacks too.
Yeah.
For a decade basically up there. I mean, they are really good at exposing weaknesses of young quarterbacks, and that's exactly what they're gonna have the opportunity to do again this week. I mean, I think for the Jaguars, this is about 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3. You can't have 3rd-and-long where Doomerville's on the field and just he knows where Blake's going to be standing on plays. You can't have that. And I think it's a really, really tough game for them to go up and win. Be competitive in the second half is really my expectation for this team this
or
weekend.
Hope, yeah. At least. I'm with you. All right. The family of dealerships, Tom Bush Family Dealerships brings you the Fan Feedback Spotlight featuring Tom Bush Volkswagen on Atlantic, where you can head over and see the 2015 Motor Trend Car of the Year, the Volkswagen Golf. Take advantage of the sign and drive event. Zero do it signing, zero down, zero first month's payment, and zero deposit. Also take advantage of Tom Bush BMW's holiday credit of up to $3,500 or drive away in a 2015 BMW X1 S Drive or 2015 BMW 3201 for only $279 a month for a 39-month lease. You can log on to TomBush.com to find out about these and other great incentives from Tom Bush Mazda and Mini as well in the holiday season. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to David Garrard. Always appreciate you, brother.
Man, I love it every time.
The days are dwindling. We'll have a game to talk about next Friday, though, because Jags play on Thursday night versus the Tennessee Titans. So if you're around.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'll be at the game, too.
We will look forward to that. Maybe the Jags will win that one on a Hail Mary. Yeah. Warren will swing by, put you in the trunk around 7 tonight.
I've got a big car. You can. Okay. There's no trunk.
Well, plenty of room. Just because you want to sneak in past security at Frank's compound.
Yeah, he can be in the luxurious room of my SUV.
Can he? All right. Well, there you go. For David Garrard, for Lauren Brooks, for Fat Tony, and Joe Fortunato, happy birthday, J.B. Shadrick. I see you walking by the studio. And happy birthday, Joe Cowart, as well.
I think
those
he has
guys.
A tux on, too.
JP?
Yeah.
That's like, his typical, he's typically a suit
very
type
fancy.
Guy. He's wearing a tux today, so that's nice. Joe and the boys of XL Primetime out at the Wild Wing Cafe for Joe C's 63rd birthday party today. So that's nice.
It's the big 5-0, isn't
happy,
it?
I thought it was the big, it's not the big 6-3?
No, it's the big 5-0.
That may be worse in some ways. Joe, you're a half century, bro. You're not making it to 100. Your life is more than half over. Happy birthday to you. I know you're
well wishes from Mike here.
In a way that only Dempsey says happy birthday.
I love Joe Cowart is more responsible for helping me out in this radio business than probably anybody I know. So, Josie, you're a good man. You know I love you, but you're going to be dead sooner than I am. All right? So, there you have it. That does it for us on that cheery holiday note. Be safe at all your holiday parties this weekend. Fat Tony and everybody else. That does